Call the meeting to order for the January committee, I'm sorry, board, school directors meeting. At this time, moment of silence and pledge led by Mrs. Mayo.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I just want to confirm that Kevin McCarroll is online with us tonight. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you. And Mr. Naranjo is unable to make it tonight. At this point, we need to approve the agenda. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
Any discussion on the agenda?
I'd like to make a motion to remove the personnel report from the agenda and table it for more discussion.
Okay. Anything else? All in favor of approving the agenda minus the personnel report and the consent, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Agenda is approved. Moving ahead to Student of the Month, Dr. Sanger.
Thank you, Mr. Dahl. It's my pleasure this evening to introduce to you our December Students of the Month. The trait of the month was that of pursuit of excellence, and the three individuals out of the four that I'll introduce to you tonight who are with us, let's just say a little bit of something about them and introduce them to you here, but they all are certainly worthy of this recognition tonight. It is not uncommon in their pursuit of excellence to see them walking down the halls or out on the athletic field just with a smile on their face. So I think you'll see that this evening as I introduce them. Our freshman student of the month is Megan Heckler. Megan, if you don't mind sitting up and going over to Dr. Larkin. Megan is the daughter of James and Karen Heckler of Denver, Pennsylvania. She is currently taking several honors courses and received distinguished honor roll since middle school. She is also a member of our marching band and our volleyball team. So ladies and gentlemen, Megan Heckler.
Congratulations.
Unfortunately, our sophomore student of the month, Jada Dixon, could not make it this evening, but I will introduce her regardless. She is the daughter of David and Deanna Dixon from New Holland. She has taken several honors courses over the years and has received honor roll status in seventh grade. She is also a member of our volleyball team as well. Our junior student of the month, Alan Kroc. Alan, if you don't mind going over to Dr. Larkin, I'd appreciate it. Alan is the son of Brad and Sharon Kroc of Narvon. He's completed several honors and AP courses throughout his time in the high school. He has maintained honor roll status since the middle school, and he is also a member of our marching band and cross-country team. So ladies and gentlemen, Alan Kroc. And then our senior student of the month is Emma Berger. Emma, if you don't mind going over to Dr. Larkin. Emma is the daughter of Michael and Stephanie Berger of New Holland. She has taken several honors and AP courses during her time here at Garden Spot, and she has maintained distinguished honors since seventh grade. She is currently participating in our dual enrollment program, student council, and is also an active and competitive soccer player. Ladies and gentlemen, Emma Berger. Thank you, President Dahl.
Do you want to say a couple words?
Oh, okay. Sorry. Dr. Hollister, who retired about 3 hours ago, normally congratulates the Students of the Month, thanks you for what you're doing here at Elanco, and also reminding you that you will be an Elanco representative no matter where you are, as you grow and move out into the world. And so continue to do the good things that you're doing, and we'll be very proud of you.
I agree. Now we set aside time for citizens of the district to comment, and we have one comment that was turned in. Just a reminder, we do have a limit of 5 minutes, and you must be a resident or have a student who gets services through the district. We have one comment, and that is from Ms. Kim Eby. And Kim, if you don't mind, for the record, when you get to the microphone, if you can just state your address. Thank you.
My name's Kim Eby, and I'm from New Holland, and I just wanted to ask if it'd be okay to say a prayer for you tonight before we start the meeting. Dear Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to get together, and I thank you for each one that's willing to serve our community in this way, for the time they put in and commit, and just for all their efforts, Lord. I pray especially for Dr. Hollister, as he's served for many years, and I pray you'll bless him in his next endeavors, and I pray for the person that is replacing him also, Father, that you will just bless them as they come and join our community. I pray especially for safety for the students, especially over the winter here with the weather and things, and for the buses, just for safety in general at the sporting events and during all the classroom activities. And Lord, I want to pray a special blessing on each of the board members, administrators, staff, and students, just as it continues to be an extra interesting year with all the changes that are going with each and every day, and I just pray that you'll just give them the energy they need, the creativity, the stamina, and just help them to have just a bounce in their step, Lord, encouragement as they move forward to this new year of 2022, that it will be a great year for all of us. I pray that you'll give them creative ideas to be able to solve the situations that they have within the means that they have, Lord, and I just pray that you would just continue to help our community, our school, to be a great place, that it'll be a place of encouragement, and that we will continue to have great learners like we've seen here today, Lord. Thank you for each and every one that's a part of our community and helping in this way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. A special presentation. Mr. Ramsey, if you want to set that up.
Yes, thank you. We have Carl Hogan from our auditing firm, BBD. Out of Philadelphia. Everybody should have a copy of the report on their agenda. If you would like a hard copy, just let me know and I'll see you get one. There are two attachments. One's the audit report, which is the first one. The second one is several pages that from the report that Carl's going to go over with the board.
Thanks, Keith. I'm going to go over a couple of the highlights of the audit report for this year. Like Keith said, there'll be hard copies available for everybody, but you know, not everybody wants a hard copy, so yeah, everybody has an electronic copy, so I'm going to make this as short and sweet as possible, painless for everybody. So I picked out about 6 or 7 sheets of the 70-page report that everybody received, and I think these are kind of the highlights that should be pointed out to the board and to the public. The first two pages are the independent auditor's report. The independent auditor's report highlights what management's responsibilities are, what our responsibilities are. But if you scroll down on this page just a little bit here, down towards the bottom, just go up a little bit higher there. This paragraph right here is the most important paragraph, basically stating the numbers that were presented to us by management for the year ended June 30th, 2021 were fairly presented, you know, basically a clean, unmodified audit opinion. The next page of the audit opinion basically outlines what responsibility were taken for the different sections of the audit report. During the current year, you implemented a new GASB. It's about as exciting as it gets when you're talking about governmental auditing related to your student activity accounts, but overall boilerplate audit report. The next page. This page here being your budget to actual report for the general fund. I'd like to point out, you know, I think 2020, 2021, when this budget was put together by the board, it's not what you anticipated. It was budgeted as of June, so there was a lot of changes in between June and when actually school started. I got to state this school district was a little bit more normal than most of the school districts I audit, but at the end of the day, there was some variations in terms of what was anticipated and what actually happened. A lot of it's happening up here in the revenue section here, so when we went into 2020, 2021, a lot of people anticipated that revenue would really take a hit related to your local source revenues, related to earned income taxes especially, and when the budget was put together, a conservative budget was put together in relation to these revenues that people thought would be impacted by the pandemic. But as you can see up at the top, budgeted revenues were actually $3.4 million more than budgeted. So not only earned income taxes came in better than budget, real estate tax collections, which were conservatively budget, came in more than budget. Realty state tax transfer taxes came in through the roof because of all, you know, the housing boom during this period of time. And at the end of the day, the district ended up in a better spot in relation to those revenues than what was budgeted. State source revenues, no surprise here, pretty much came in right on budget. You know what you're going to get from the state on an annual basis. But then you have your federal source revenues as well. They came in $1.2 million more than budget, and that's because of those extra COVID-19 awards for ESSER and for the Coronavirus Relief Fund that came in that weren't originally budgeted during the budget process and came in after the fact. So at the end of the day, you budgeted $57.5 million of revenues. You came in at 61.9, positive variance of 4.3. As we come down with your expenditures, you can see the original and final budgeted expenditures, budget transfers made throughout the year, keep on coming down a little bit. So when you take into account the expenditures, the budget transfers at the end of the year, a budget transfer out was made to the Capital Projects Fund during the current year, right down here. You know, to account for the excess of the revenues and the expenditures, and to, you know, transfer that over in accordance. So you budgeted to use $2.6 million of fund balance, but you didn't use $2.6 million of fund balance, so that was appropriated over to the Capital Projects Fund in lieu of, adding it to your general fund balance for future capital projects. So at the beginning of the year, you had $10.7 million of fund balance. You remain with $10.7 million of fund balance. So this transfer over to the Capital Projects Fund will be able to segue into a couple of the other slides that are coming up. Come down below. Here's the same information for the general fund here without the budget information. Here's the Capital Projects Fund, which is just basically your capital reserve fund consisting of transfers over from the general fund. So here's the money moving from the general fund over to the Capital Projects Fund. And during the current year in the Capital Projects Fund, you had about $8.6 million of capital expenditures. A lot of that had to do, a majority of it had to do with the locker room projects that you had during the 2020-2021 project or year. Plus, there were some other smaller projects as well accumulated in there. So at the beginning of the year, you had fund balance of $13 million in your Capital Projects Fund. You ended up with $7 million after adding the transfer over from the general fund, plus or minus the expenditures for the current year. Next slide. So we went over the activity, the ins and the outs for the year. Here's where your assets, your liabilities, and the excess of those assets over your liabilities being your fund balance at the end of the year. Total assets, $20 million, $21 million. A lot of that is in the form of cash and investments at year end. Amounts due from the state for reimbursements, which come in shortly after year end. Liabilities are all current liabilities. Most of your liabilities are in that section here called accrued salaries, payroll, withholdings, and benefits. That's just because the teachers work through June 30th. They get paid through August 31st, so we accrue those salaries back to capture them in the period in which the teachers were paid and related benefits. So the excess of the $20 million over the $10 million is the fund balance. If you go down a little bit here, the fund balance being $10 million, like we just spoke about, the $10.7 million. So what needs to be done is the state allows you to have 8% of unassigned fund balance, 8% of next year's expenditure budget. The 8% is $3.6 million. And in the case of the school district, they have committed fund balance to get underneath that 8% in accordance with PDE. And in the case of Eastern Lancaster, they've put money aside for the ever-increasing PISR's rate increases, which you didn't have to use in the current year, technology initiatives, future, and then during the 2021-2022 budget process, used about $2 million to balance the budget of that $10 million. Here comes the big highlight. This is Keith's big. So we just talked about your capital projects fund, putting money over into the capital projects fund and the expending of that. So you don't have to go out and borrow money. The school district, I mean, we audited over 30 school districts, and you will be the first school district that is going to be debt-free as of February 15, 2022. So you have $10 million sitting there, et cetera, and you can do any kind of projects. You won't have to borrow any kind of money. There's no big building projects. So that's something to look forward to less than a month. So I can't say that anybody even has under $10 million of debt of all the school districts we audited. So something to be proud of. So that's why we added this slide in there. And then the next slide. So we went over the results of the audit, the clean audit opinion. We went over one other thing I'd like to mention, too, something I didn't put in here, extra slide. You also have a food service fund and an internal service fund for monies put aside for anything, any bad, you know, any year you have bad claims and you have more than sufficient amount in case if you have a bad claim year. One thing I want to point out with your food service fund is that a lot of my school districts had operating losses in the past 2 years, whereas Eastern Lancaster hasn't had operating losses and had to subsidize from the general fund over to the food service fund. So when you look at your audit report, because I know everybody's going to read it, you're going to see that there was actually a gain in your net position in your food service fund. So that's another good point as well. Finally, this is the schedule of your findings and your question costs. This is just the results of the audit that we just talked about, but also in here it talks about there's no internal control issues, anything we consider to be significant deficiencies, material weaknesses, and also discusses the results of your federal award audit that we do in conjunction with this. And for the current year, your two major federal awards were Title I and the COVID-19 Education ESSER funds for the current year, which is no surprise. So I assume with the ESSER III funds coming on board, I imagine this 84.425 will find its way as a major program in some future years as well. And that is it. Oh, one other thing, too. There's some major reports that the business office needs to file. There's a report with the state, the PDE, annual financial report, and that was filed in a timely basis, the single audit with the federal awards. And also, finally, there is the EMMA bond filing requirement that you will no longer have to do after this year. So. And they were all filed timely basis. So, any questions? All good news.
Okay. Thank you, Carl.
Yep.
Appreciate it. Nice job. That ends the special presentation.
Awesome. And I just want to publicly thank Mr. Ramsey for his work in that and keeping our finances in order. I just want to reiterate, and correct me if I'm wrong, you said we're the only district that you work with? That would be, and how many do you work with?
Over 30.
Wow, that's awesome. Good job. Moving ahead to the consent agenda, it did get updated. Look at that. You did remove the one. So do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor of the consent agenda, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The agenda is approved. We do have two action items. One is the personnel report that was asked to be removed, and I'm going to defer to Mrs. Geyer, who asked that to be removed for further discussion.
If you look at the personnel report, I was wondering if we could separate two key categories in there. I wanted to separate out pay increase. I want us to vote on that separately, then the personal day addition for the support staff.
Can you give me a little bit? You just would
you
prefer
want more
to do it that way?
I'm sorry, what?
You would just prefer us to separate them out?
No, I really feel that our support staff absolutely deserves those raises, and I am so happy and thankful to be on a school board that's giving those types of raises. My concern as a teacher is that the extra personal days in a climate that we find ourselves in now where subs and things like that are so hard to come by that we will just burden our administration, our teachers more by giving out more personal days. And not that that's not something I would absolutely be in favor of in the future, but as far as this year is concerned, I'm really concerned about that. And I think when there's not enough support staff or support staff is off more, that then adds more work for our teachers and our admin, who I think right now are probably working 10 times harder than they ever have.
Just to clarify on the personal days, that would go into effect July 1, so that would go into effect for next school year. Just FYI.
Okay, that makes a big difference. I thought that was going to come as soon as we voted for it.
No, the raises are January 3rd, so
right.
They're retro.
And I thought they were all January 3rd. Sorry about that.
Yeah, the personal days are for next year, not this year.
I still would like to table it. Just and that's me personally, I don't know what's available as far as subs. When our maintenance staff takes a personal day or our secretaries take a personal day, do we have a bank of people willing to sub for them, or do we have personnel in the district that can cover? And I just don't want to see what I see a lot of other districts doing is pulling teachers on their breaks or on their lunch to cover for those positions. And I just think that addition at this point is just this is just my opinion. No one has to agree with me. It's just a lot more to add on this staff that's showing up every day.
I was just going to say, I have a question. With personal days, is that something they just can call in the night before, the day before, or is it prearranged that not too many can take off at the same time? I don't know if Dr. Sanger or Dr. Larkin have an answer for that. You know what I'm saying? That you don't have like 10 a call in with personal days that day. Is there a limit to how many you're allowed off at a time?
There was no limit in the consent agenda. That was one of my issues with it, is I'd like to reevaluate it. I think there should be blackout days. I think there should be a limit placed on how many secretaries can take off on one day, how many support staff in our special ed department can take off on one day. At this point, the way it was written, there wasn't any type of limits. And that's not to say these people don't deserve it. It's to say that I don't think we can support that as a district, or any district can support that right now.
Dr. Sanger, did you want to
answer? I was going to say, how is it currently handled right now?
Yeah, so our support staff is pretty well cross-trained. So if one's out, they pick up. So there's really no loss in service to our students or our staff. In regard to them taking personal days, Donna, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I do not believe we have anything necessarily written in stone in regard to you have to tell us a week ahead. That being said, our administrative assistants are very courteous, and when they're going to be out, they'll usually let me know 2 weeks in advance. They do have a summer calendar that they keep as well for over the summer, so we make sure that we have coverage almost every day during the summer as well.
And I fully realize emergencies crop up. You know, there's that happens to everybody. So I understand.
And just to follow up on Dr. Sanger, for the custodial and central office staff, they don't get substitutes either. So it's
then who's covering the responsibilities? I'm asking just for my information. If let's say an elementary school secretary takes off and uses a personal day, who then fills that role?
There are at least two secretaries in every building, so they cover for one another. They've cross-trained, like Dr. Sanger says, so that they can cover. And in the district office, we've multiple people that are cross-trained with one another to cover.
What if they both take a personal day on the same day? Do we have anything in place for that?
I've sat at the front desk. Seriously. So
you're amazing.
Sometimes we do what we have to do to cover for our kids.
And that is back to my original point. Like, I mean, and I'm based on my own experience where I work in a district where staff is used excessively to fill these roles. When secretaries are out, when maintenance is out, when paras are out, that then becomes the teachers and the principals and the admins role. And it does become a lot to do two or three jobs in one day. So that was my only concern with all of that.
Is this all for full-time support staff, or is this for any support staff?
The additional days, and you can see in the agenda, it's for full-time support staff to increase their personal days from 3 to 5. That's full-time would be on 30 hours. And for part-time support staff who are hired to work 20 or more hours a week will receive 2 personal days, non-cumulative. So they would get them, they don't use them, they don't get to accumulate them. So it's 2 for each classification. It's just as you look at it, one's cumulative, so they're going from 3 to 5 on the full-time cumulative, and then the part-time 20 hours or more would be just 2 non-cumulative, use it or lose it.
So what we're saying, so for full-time people, they're only getting 5, if we do this, they're only getting 5 personal days for the whole school year?
For the school year, correct.
And is that what teachers, that's what teachers are getting at this point, correct?
Teachers are getting 3.
3. So that's more than what our
that's correct.
Teachers are getting.
Is that something that then was driven by STS?
This is our staff.
This is our staff, right?
Yeah, they're also, STS also was recommending some for them as well. As we looked at the raises, as we talked about, we were also looking at some mental health days as well. And that's why we were trying to help do some of that from the personal side. A little bit of both. Combination raise and some additional days.
This is for our support staff, not STS, because it says
there's 2 pieces. There's, if you look at number 3, that's for our support staff, and if you look at number 4, that's for the STS staff. So there are 2 separate pieces within that personnel.
Okay,
Mr. Irvin, you had a statement.
Oh, okay. But doesn't STS make?
Do you mind turning your microphone on?
Yeah, thanks. The question I would have is, as the administration, do you believe this will work? Do you have any issue with putting this into effect July 1st, 2022, or do you think maybe we should hold off or just go with it as written?
I don't think we have an issue with it as it's written. We've spent time with STS staff and the STS administrators, the same as we've spent time with our own support staff. It's not only, we're hearing very clearly, it's not necessarily just what we're paying, but it's these some other smaller incentives that really speak loudly to our support staff. And I do believe that this will help us keep support staff. They will feel valued and know that we care about them as employees for us and employees that work for us through STS. So we would not bring this to you if we did not believe this was what we should be doing.
What I would like to essentially make a motion on, and I want to tell you the reason why. I would be in favor of approving the personnel report minus or benching that additional time, as Mrs. Geyer said, because it doesn't go into effect right away. We have a little bit of time to implement it, and also it'll allow us to get our new superintendent on board and in place to fully understand those types of changes. Not that it's a significant change, but I think we can wait another month before we improve that piece of it, just to get his perspective and his insight, because essentially he's going to be managing that. So my motion that I put on the table is to approve the personnel report minus the benefit adjustment for time off for support staff.
Is that for support staff or STS too? Because there's like two components.
Both at this point.
Yeah, I was thinking, took it as it being both.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just for my own information, can I ask, how does that work?
Before we have a conversation, we need a second.
Need a second. Motion.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Further discussion? Mrs. Geyer?
It doesn't pertain.
Dr. Larkin, maybe you can answer this question. So when we have monitors, that includes recess and lunch monitors, correct?
Yeah.
On average, how many hours a day does one of them work? And maybe some of the other administrators here can answer that. Do you know?
2 to 3, right, Heather?
It's about 3 hours.
I'm looking, and Donna's nodding, and yes, 2 to 3.
And how deficient are we in our monitors, especially at the elementary?
All 3 buildings are budgeted for 6. We never have more than 4. And neither do any of the other buildings.
Okay. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm wondering if we need to increase that amount by a little bit because, you know, it's. I know it's only like 3 hours a day, but for some people, that's a very difficult to justify. Like that's their job. You know, I'm just wondering if we could get them up even 11:50 or 12 or something like that because it's so hard to get. I've just heard over the years that it's just hard to get them, and it is drawing other people in from other places. It's drawing administrators in. It's sapping, I think, all of our other resources, our teachers, our administrators. And I just feel like if we could just give them a little bit more of a perk because, you know, as we all know, they can make a lot more sheets or wherever else. So I think if there's a way that maybe we could do something there, I think. That's my own personal opinion. But
I don't disagree with you looking at it long term to increase even further than this. What I would maybe suggest is to, well, first have the vote on this adjustment that goes retro from January, beginning of January through the end of the year. And address it in our next year's budget to increase it even further, since this would be out of budget to some extent. Basically, have a phased approach to increasing it versus.
Yeah, correct. Do you mind if I jump in a second?
Please.
I think you're looking at the monitors on the SDS side, and they would get a 50 cent. They get a 50 cent bump each year, so that would go up to 11:50 July 1. Just so you're aware. But yeah, we can go further if you wanted. I just wanted to point that out.
Oh,
so you're right; there is incremental adjustments.
I just want to make sure we're doing something because, like I said, I do feel like there is a trickle down effect from that position that affects all of our staff a lot.
I fully agree with you. I think there's room to go further in the dollar amount, but I think we don't want to necessarily wait another month before we make a decision on something. Is there any other discussion on the motion that's on the table? Justin, do you mind reading back the motion?
Mr. Dahl made a motion to approve the personnel report minus the benefit adjustment for support staff.
Thank you. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. With that, Mr. Ramsey, I would like to address the dollar amount. If we can come back with a phase two of what that could look like, perhaps in next year's budget, so that starting in September or August, we address it again beyond what is listed here.
I have one more question, too. Is that okay?
Yeah, by all means.
So as we keep moving forward and looking towards next year, I assume that we can also make adjustments to this if we need to as we go, correct?
Yes.
So I saw that we, for the substitute teachers, we're offering a little bit less Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays compared to Monday and Friday. And I know that Monday and Friday are often when we need subs the most. That was the thinking there. Would it be possible maybe in a month to kind of see how we're doing with that, to see if that has made a difference? My only concern about that is just confusion. Like if, you know, with the STS employees, if they're not sure exactly which days are which, or I don't know, just if we could just keep an eye on that to see if that doesn't make an impact or not, that'd be great.
Yes, definitely we can do that. And just also to follow up on the support staff as well, the ranges and stuff, we are committing to look at those every year as well in the spring.
Great.
And so we keep current and up to date.
Any other conversation?
I need one small item.
Please.
You just have an English teacher look at the incentives, how it's spelled.
Leave it to Paul.
I take
good catch.
The blame. Yeah. Numbers is my thing. I take the blame for
you
that
one. You've got Excel document. It's him. If it's Word.
I have to learn how to do spell check with Excel.
All right, moving on to the other action item we have was the approval to reinstate BrainPop for the second semester. We had some extensive discussion last time. I would need a motion for that.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
And any further discussion on reinstating BrainPop?
Yeah. So question would be, was there any, which by the way, thank you first of all, that I got my email about logging in and having my own account, so I spent a couple hours in there. So thank you first for doing that and make sure everybody knows that that did happen. Is there any, because obviously I don't have administrative dashboard capabilities in that sense. We wouldn't want that. But was there any further exploring on things that would be automatically checked, boxed off as everything's available unless you de-check it versus the as it is right now from what we're told, everything would be that way as opposed to the opposite where we would have to proactively go in to say, okay, your teachers that are using BrainPop Junior, you need to go in and select the grades you want versus deselecting the grades you don't want.
So yes, the answer to your question is yes. Do I have a full answer for you? No, not yet from them. But what we can do on our end and what we already have done is we have taken that list of 48 sensitive topics that are videos that are on there. They are already, we're going to go through and put those through the sensitive, you know, take those off. And also they'll be through if one were to squeeze through, which once it's off, it's off. But Aristotle will pick it up, which is a reporting system that we have that is given to teachers daily. And then that way they can, the teachers will see if somebody was on it. And then also what we can do is for BrainPop Junior, that can be K-3. And then the access for BrainPop, if needed, could be turned off for 4-8. That would be, well, K-3 would be only able to get to BrainPop Junior. And then 4-8 would have access to BrainPop. And again, those videos would be filtered through that.
Okay, thank you.
So the filtering is done like at the tech level, not like the
yes.
teacher level.
Yes.
Okay. And the teachers can't just be like all of a sudden like, hey, I want to actually show this anyway.
Nope.
And okay, good.
Only admins.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of approving reinstating BrainPop for the second semester, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. Moving on to reports, the Lancaster County Tax Collection Bureau.
Yes, we did have a meeting on January 12th. It was a very short meeting. It was their reorganization meeting, so that's about all we did at the meeting.
Awesome. Thank you. Lancaster, Lebanon, IU. Mr. Irvin.
The Lancaster, Lebanon, IU met on January 12th. And a couple of the highlights, we hired a new executive director, and he is appointed and in place with a hire date. We voted a new board president in at the same meeting. And we paid invoices in the amount of $7 million. Approved 4 new business service contracts, approved 6 additions to business service contracts, approved 1 new early childhood contract, and for instructional services and technology services, we approved 5 new contracts. We had 10 employees resign. We terminated 1 employee, had 2 retirements, had 22 new hires, 20 change of salary and status, and granted 5 leave of absences. And I did give this same report to each of the administrators and the board members, along with the monthly helping districts help students. If anyone has any questions on any part of the report or anything I've said, I'll be glad to answer your question or get back to you with an answer.
Any questions for Mr. Irvin? Thank you. Lancaster CTC.
Yep. So we're meeting this Thursday, so we hadn't met in between board meetings, so I will give an update then. However, we did hear that the automobile technician training program that is there was nationally recognized by the Automobile Service Technology, the AS Education Foundation, which is a national recognition. So that's a pretty big thing for them. So congratulations to them. They're doing a great job, and I will give more information after this Thursday.
Thank you. And moving on to the legislative.
Nothing really legislatively going on much. A couple of things here and there, but nothing yet to report.
Right. I'd like to expand on the legislative a little bit with everything going on about the redistricting that's taking place. Being I'm sort of the historian here, so I'll give a little history. Back in 82, I started as a committeeman here in the East Drill Township, and we were in the 43rd legislative district at that time. Jerry Schuler was our state representative. In 1990, the lines changed a little bit more, and we picked up Terry Sheets from back in the Denver area, so that we picked up Efferdeboro and parts of Cocalico in our district. That held, then 94-95, Leroy Zierman took over as our state representative, and he held it until his sudden passing in 2004, in which Gordon Denlinger took over, but the lines continued to change. And, of course, in 2014, Dave Zierman took over as our state representative. But one thing I'd like to comment, I think in all my years, I've never seen that five school districts are included in the new 99th. And it's quite a diverse amount of school districts. It starts with Peckwith Alley, goes to Elanco, goes to Cocalico, Governor Mifflin, and Wilson. Now, whoever our state representative is, or has to handle this, and I think Mark Gillen, the current representative that covered part, Brecknock was in Mark Gillen's district from Berks County. I don't know whether it's going to be, how that's going to be handled at election day or whatever, but whoever gets elected to be state representative, that is a very diverse and challenging bunch of school districts to work with, because it's a big gamut from Wilson to Peckwith Alley. Mm-hmm. You know, so I just wanted to give a little update, you know, give a politician a microphone and he's good for a little bit. So
thank you, Mr. Wenzel. Moving on to the superintendent's report, Dr. Larkin.
Hello. Okay, we have a short report here. First of all, today was Dr. Hollister's last day here in Elanco. We had a breakfast for him, and everyone had a chance to say goodbye. It was bittersweet, as we will certainly miss him. Keith and I have worked with him for 16 years, and so it will be different tomorrow walking in without him here, but we wish him the best as he pursues other opportunities. Also would like to give you a bus driver update. As I'm sure you've heard through Mind and the website, we are up and running tomorrow with buses. Schools will be open all day, normal times. There won't be any early dismissals or late pickups tomorrow. Keith and I will stay in daily contact with transportation, and we'll work with transportation to make sure there's a plan B, because not only COVID causing issues, but just a shortage of people to do jobs. And so it's the new reality. So our goal will be to keep everybody in school and here as long as they can all day long. But we will be coming up with another plan, just so everybody knows what that other plan is before we may have to use it.
Not to interrupt, we only had a wiggle room of two drivers, I believe, at the most, at any, even before COVID or anything like that. It wasn't much wiggle room as far as somebody being out.
Right. Any questions about that? Okay. All right. And then an update on the incident at the high school on Friday evening. As you know, a kiln in one of the art rooms in the high school overheated late Friday afternoon. That caused the fire alarm to go off and the sprinkler system in the kiln room to go off as well. just the kiln room, not the art rooms, which some people thought was happening when the alarm first went out, but just the kiln room. However, it got so hot in that room that water was just pouring, and you open the door and it was already coming underneath, and it really did go into five, six different rooms, and the hallway. It didn't go up very high. We did do a tour today with some of the board members, and they cut about 6 inches up off the floor of the drywall to make sure that it was dry in there and there wasn't a problem. Complete restoration and was there Friday evening. And by Saturday, there were 60 or 70 fans and dehumidifiers. They were already cutting the baseboard to make sure that things were good, and they started pre-cutting drywall to put back up, which they started today. So tomorrow we will have teachers and learners in those classrooms again. They're not totally completely put back together. They still need to put base cove on the walls, but that takes a little while because of supply chain issues. The electricity in the kiln room is totally being pulled out and replaced because it's all wet. We're still not sure whether some of the walls may not have to come down in the kiln room because of the water from the sprinkler system, and we will be getting two new kilns. One was just put in on Friday. That's not the one that overheated. But it overheated. It was sitting next to the new one, and so we'll need two new kilns for that room. Anything I missed in that? I can't thank enough the people that really helped out and jumped in on Friday. I named them in the board email, but I'd like to name them publicly: Mark Schaefer, Ken Weaver, Kara, Martin, Greg, Frederick, Matt Fox, Matt Sanger, Bill Troop, Mike Bogle. Thank you. Bogle, Lamar Sensnig, Neil Walsh. Yes, I called him. Lars White, the New Holland Fire Company was here and, you know, started, helped us turn the water off, started sweeping out water, got in touch with Complete Restoration. Can't say enough about Complete Restoration. Weaver and that company were here over the weekend. You know, it takes a team, and we have a wonderful one here in Elanco. So I can't, you know, there were a lot of rumors going around. I know we had a basketball game. We had girls in cars, girls in the buses, but it all worked out well, and everybody's going to be in their room tomorrow.
Even the kiln room?
Well, no, but the kiln room's a part of the art room. So, yeah, there's nothing in it anymore.
Pretty bare.
So, and any other questions about that?
I just like, not related to that, I know I floated this by Dr. Hollister a few months ago, and it's something we haven't done in a while. If we could, and I'll, when Dr. Snufkowski arrives, I'll also float by him. I think it'd be great for us as a board to honor the fire companies that are present in our district, and not just for this instance. Whenever there's an accident with a bus anywhere in our district, they're the ones that come. I think it'd be great to recognize them if they want to send somebody, and also the police that cover our district, because little things that we don't see that they see and everything that are very helpful for us, and just to say, hey, thank you.
Okay, you can do that. And then I have one more thing. Finally, Dr. Hollister mentioned at the last meeting in January that it was Pennsylvania School Board Association Month, and the Pennsylvania School Board Association honors those people who have put in substantial time into the board and if you're here more than 24 years, you receive a plaque, which I believe only Mr. Wenzel has ever received.
The golden seat.
Yes. They actually had somebody from the School Board Association come and present that. But for those that have some time less than that, they do put some certificates of appreciation. And we have two members of our board this year who have reached those milestones. And so I'd like to, at this time, present a certificate of appreciation for recognition of ongoing school board service and the long-term contributions of individuals who bring their energy, talent, and values to the guidance of youth and public education in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And for 8 years, that certificate of appreciation goes to President John Dahl. And for 12 years, it goes to Mr. Paul Irving. Thank you very much for your service.
I'm sure Paul would agree that we work with a great team. It's not just us.
And that ends my report.
Any questions for Dr. Larkin? She
did
well on our first official report.
Yeah. I just want to back up real quick. I just have a question on the buses. Uh-huh. What Brightbill, right, is who we have contracted out for that?
Brightbill, yes.
Right. So what are they saying and or doing to not put us in the spot that we were in? I mean, is there anything that they are actively doing as well, or is this all kind of just, yeah, too bad, we don't have enough today, so you guys can deal with it on your side? I mean, what are they doing?
No, you can go.
Delegate.
I mean,
delegate.
No, it's I mean, they're trying everything they can to get people. I mean, it's, you know, they'll do whatever they can for us. We even reached out to other districts to try to get them to help us. Other districts have reached out to us to help. You know, it just like it is with our own staff, it's affecting them, unfortunately. And I would say that they are not just saying, here you go, sorry, and washing their hands of it. They are trying, just like we're all trying. But it's just...
Yeah. That's what I mean. I haven't heard that they're not trying to help us out. Right. We have somebody at the bus garage directly with Brightbill. We also work. We have Kristen who took over transportation. She works very closely. They figure out how to combine runs.
And I know just personally from what I work at Morgan Truck, there were two men that recently retired and I don't know how they got on that list, but Espenshade, the contractor out of Berks County, had, because they had CDL licenses, were in contact. I think the state was helping out a little bit, too, with bus contractors, getting information, people that at least approach about the possibility of driving bus.
What percentage of our students utilize the bus service? Ballpark, I don't need the exact... Half, three quarters, 90%.
Yeah, 75%. Yeah.
I guess my question would be, we aren't required to provide bus service, correct? I get it's a no. service, and I'm all for it, obviously.
Correct.
But I'm also for keeping our kids in school, especially despite, you know, and to have it hinged based on that, you know, I know you said you'd come up with a plan so this wouldn't happen again, but I'm just spitballing ideas, but, you know, having parents drive them for a period or make that an option to allow our schools to stay open and kids in school learning. I had to do kindergarten with my 6-year-old, and that was not productive, I'll say. I mean, it was great for what it was, but it wasn't the same as interacting with his classmates. His teacher did a fantastic job with it. I'm not minimizing that, but I think even our teachers would rather our kids in school.
And I kind of ask in that sense, because I know specifically kind of where Gary was going with the STS and the salaries and the increases and looking at that. Is the financial piece of that with Brightbill something we also are able to discuss with them as far as, again, I don't know that I've seen, right, a piece of what that wage is and whether or not that incentivizes people to become bus drivers.
Yeah.
And if we have any say over that.
We can ask. We can ask the question how they, where they are. I mean, ultimately, they pass it on to us.
Yeah.
We can ask the question how they are with how comparable they are with other contractors and see where we are. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, the first.
What distance are we having? Not that I'm trying to match other school districts. I know a lot of other school districts locally are making students walk a significant amount. But what's our parameter of who needs to walk and who can be bused? Like, is it 1 mile, 2 miles?
We're 100% bused.
Oh.
Because if you take a look at the roads where kids have to walk, I mean, normally, you know, it's, they're hazardous routes. Certain areas don't have sidewalks, those types of things. So we're, yeah. We've been that way for many, many years.
Thank you. I didn't know. I was asking because yeah. I know a lot of school districts are extending that now to kind of cope with the buses. But I guess yeah. we're not in that situation.
There is a in the law to get reimbursement, there is a threshold of the miles. I think it might be 1 mile for elementary, 2 miles for secondary or something like that. So, but we're 100%. But, you know, we were talking too, maybe it's if something happens, like this kind of came on us pretty quick. And when we met, mm-hmm. you know, it was kind of the best option, even with the numbers within our staff as well, helped with that break a little bit. But, you know, maybe it's a delayed loop or something and mm-hmm. parents want to bring their students, they can, but then come around and get you when we, you know, kind of like public transportation in a way, possibly.
Is there a way that we could do almost the opposite of what we did this last time, where we had students leave school early to stagger the buses? I'm not saying this is favorable, but in a desperate situation, have the kids come to school and the majority, whatever we can get to leave on time, leave, and then those buses come back and get the next route later in the day. The kids can do their homework. I don't know if we could have, like, pay a staff member to stay and run a study hall or something, or parents could come if they didn't like that. But I'm just trying to think of how we can keep a kid in school all day long. I didn't know if we could do the staggering after school instead of before school ends.
We can look at that. Part of the issue would be who stays and covers for the kids when they're staying at school. That's why we did it the way we did it. We also made sure that the secondary got out first so that they could be home when, and we chose New Holland to be the one that got out the hour earlier because their runs are shorter because they're closer to the school. In addition, because of the size of Blue Ball and Brecknock, we made the decision that they would stay the longest and stay the full day because we could actually do the runs with the number of bus drivers that we had and the number of buses we had in both those schools at the end of the day.
Maybe I should preface that with, I think you guys handled it really well, extremely well. I was impressed with how well you coordinated that last minute like that on the fly, but I was just thinking for the future, we get that full day of school in.
I mean, I would echo, I think you guys did a fantastic job on, what, an hour's notice, basically. You know, and I think the teachers did a great job of prepping and getting stuff, you know, to go virtual for 2 days. You know, I think the key is just being intentional in the future. A, we obviously hope this doesn't happen again, but if it does, that there's a plan in place so that parents aren't thrown off with a shift mid-morning for kids coming home. You know, I think just generally speaking, not even about busing, but, you know, the company that figures out the key to hiring right now is going to win, you know, whether it's, you know, my industry or the school industry, the person who can get creative and think about how to do it differently than it's ever been done, whether it's flexibility, whether it's pay, whether it's something, you know, fringe benefits, is going to win the race. And, you know, so I would just encourage you guys, just be creative in how you solve it. Anything else from the superintendent's report? Any other questions for Dr. Larkin?
Hearing none. Any announcements? All right. Hearing none, do I have a motion?
Excuse me, sorry, I did one announcement. Make sure you sign the LCCTC and give that to Justin.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor of adjourning, say aye.
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.